In the second podcast episode, we talk about how Kuehne+Nagel has been partnering with the Smart Freight Center to support decarbonization. We're lucky to have with us Rick Ahrens, who works at the Smart Freight Center and is also the director of the Sustainable Freight Buyer Alliance, which is a key initiative from the Smart Freight Center. Welcome, Rick and Patrick, to our podcast on sustainability. Really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Thank you, Caroline. And it's a pleasure to be here with you as well.
Thank you, Caroline.
So let me get right in there. So, Rick, I've not met you before. And can you tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why are you in this sustainability space?
That's an excellent question, actually, Caroline. So in my daily life, I actually lead the Sustainable Freight Buyers Alliance, which is a flagship alliance of Smart Freight Center, where we're really trying to unite international freight buyers to help decarbonize their supply chains. And it's my core belief as well that logistics emissions are currently at 8 to 10% of the global greenhouse gas emissions that are being emitted. And we need to reduce those, and we need to reduce them more rapidly. And as you can see, individual organizations really struggle. And we see that within our alliance, and we help them to navigate and make that happen, to do that quicker than today.
And have you always cared about sustainable issues?
Yeah. I was trained as a civil engineer, and I did sustainable transportation throughout my master's already, and worked in international development for years as well, trying to make sustainable transport on the road. One of my most memorable moments was actually when I worked in Pakistan for about 4 years around sustainable transportation and making the national transport policy as well as the national logistics policy. And seeing firsthand how complex logistics can be in such a place as well.
So, Rick, I can only imagine the experience you achieved while working in Pakistan. Was there something like really big that you took away from that learning?
Yes, actually, what was exciting and fascinating about Pakistan, which is also applicable in other parts of the world, which is that any logistics is an outsourced service, and logistics is a very highly fragmented service. You have owner operators in specific markets. And actually, I've learned in the years that we're working here is that this is a global issue. This is not just for Pakistan. This is also for India, also for Europe, also for the US, where we need to work with the large multinationals on the one hand that produce goods, and on the other hand, the smaller owner operators that actually carry the goods in the end. And when we make the transition towards zero carbon, that's a challenge for all of us.
Absolutely. And that brings me to Patrick. So Kuehne+Nagel has been a part of your alliance, I understand, for close to 4 years. How did you meet Patrick? Is this a new acquaintance?
It's a relatively new alliance. We met Patrick in person recently at our Smart Freight Week, but he has been active before already. And it was great to see Kuehne+Nagel now also stepping up into the role of decarbonizing their road freight operations and creating a bigger team. And I think Patrick is the biggest enthusiast behind that team.
So nice observation, Rick. And I have to say, hits the nail, really, absolutely. The thing is, Caroline, we've been for years already in a Smart Freight Center, longer than 4 years, actually, way longer. Our colleague Edgar Uribe was involved in the very beginning from setting guidelines, the GLEG, supporting the Smart Freight Center and building up. But from road logistics perspective, where I can speak for, Kuehne+Nagel was a little active over the last years, but never really decided strategically to go into the direction. And when I took over the responsibility for decarbonizing road freight within Kuehne+Nagel approximately 1.5 years ago, my first challenge was, where in all of these forums should you be active? Because you have initiatives all over the place, from small to huge, where we were testing ground on many, many of them. And at the end of the day, we decided to remain in two of them because we as a forwarder see ourselves as a connection between big buyers, shippers on the market, and small carriers, where most of our carriers are 6 to 10 trucks only. They cannot afford to be in the big forums, which really move the needle. And we identified the Smart Freight Center and the World Economic Forum Road Freight Zero initiatives as the places to be for us, where we focus on both of them. And Rick just described the very moment when I showed up in Amsterdam last year and I asked him right away, how can Kühne Nagel really make an impact here? Because when I was sitting the very first time in the Smart Freight Buyers Alliance, and I think Rick will elaborate a little bit more on the content of it in a minute, but for me, that was the very moment where I said, this is where we belong to. This is what I've been looking for. And this is actually where I think we can make an impact. We just need to define how. And that's where I approached Rick.
So, Rick, I can imagine the meeting with Patrick being quite intense. He's very serious, right?
I would not say it was intense. It was actually quite fun. And it's always good to meet people in person, and especially people that are enthusiastic about the challenge that's ahead of us. Yeah.
So the discussion today is all about how, if we partner together, we can be better at lowering emissions. From both of you, what's the secret of making that work?
That's a fascinating. Well, I think we still have to unlock what's the secret to that, to be fully frank. I think we got some of the ingredients in terms of understanding. So you need to have, it needs to be in a good spirit. So you need to trust each other. You need to be open and be transparent also about some of the weaknesses and failures that you will undergo as you collaborate. It will be about exchange of data, which can be considered sensitive and competitively sensitive. But we have not mastered it in its entirety. I'll be fully honest. I think there are very few organizations that would be claiming that that they have mastered and found the right to successful recipe.
Sorry, Patrick, before I let you jump in, just a lead-on question to Rick on that point. There are a lot of alliances and a lot of organizations that focus on this topic. Are they talking to each other?
They are. They all are. So luckily we do. So we work actively with the World Economic Forum and Road Freight Zero. So we are active partners to them, and they are to us. Similarly, there are existing partnerships in the US, in Europe, and also in regional initiatives in China, India, etc. So luckily we all talk to each other. But each of us have, and that's where Patrick probably alluded to, is have a slightly unique feature of what we work towards. And I would say at the Sustainable Freight Buyers Alliance is really about the private sector of logistics that comes together, that are seeking to work on how does sustainable logistics work? How does sustainable logistics procurement work? How does a transition of fleet from a private sector perspective work? Recognizing that there needs to be enabling conditions such as the policy, such as financial markets, etc., to work. But this is about the private sector working together on understanding their transition.
And that's a great answer. Thank you for that clarification. I should give Patrick a chance now, right, to share. I'd like to know why he thinks your alliance is so great for Kühne & Nagel.
Just to supplement what Rick just said, actually that the Smart Freight Center is a kind of a boiling pot of many of those initiatives. That was one of the things why I said this is the place to be for us. Just giving you a deeper going example, we've been looking into the EV 100 plus initiative very, very deeply, with Eric being the lead of that, focusing on transitioning fleets, particularly to low emission vehicles until 2040. That was the very first layout they put up. And
Patrick, who's Eric? If you don't mind jumping in.
Eric Björk is the lead of the EV100+. It's a subcategory of the EV100 and climate group's EV initiative, where they are focusing on supporting smaller fleets and bigger fleets as well by steering legal makers and lawmakers towards battery electric vehicles and commitments in that direction. Because what Rick just mentioned, you have to have a collaboration to make it work. The EV100+ there focuses mostly on the OEMs, on truck makers, so to say, to push them into a direction that they have to change their portfolio of trucks, which they are offering to the market by 2040, by 2035, maybe even by 2030, towards cleaner use or cleaner use cases. But, and that's the thing, going now back to the Smart Freight Center, you're zooming a little bit out of these very, very focused initiatives, and you're having a look also on the net grid providers and the charging infrastructure providers and the OEMs, of course, as well, and the shippers, which buy from forwarders and carriers at the end of the day. So that's where I see that the Smart Freight Center Buyers Alliance brings the single strings together of these single initiatives and does that actually, from my perspective, very, very well.
So, Rick, it sounded like Patrick was giving your organization an advertisement there. did he describe it well? Is there anything you missed out?
No, I think so. So maybe we strongly believe, so maybe just to give you that, so Smart Freight Center itself, we are a not-for-profit organization.
That's interesting.
Working. So we work on a global scale on decarbonizing supply chains, so logistics and supply chains. And we've done that, and as Patrick alluded to that already, which is that we have done this for the past 10 years. And we started actually with how much emissions does a parcel have? You move your goods around, but how much emissions does that have? It's delivered to your home door in the end, or you move it for a client of you. How much emissions does that have? That's where we started, because if you have that transparency, then you also know where the emissions come from and where to take action. And now what's most interesting, and that's why it's also not so unsurprising that we see to see Patrick's and similar to come to the foreground, which is people roughly know where emissions come from today. But we know also, and that's different today, we also know that there is a trajectory on how to decarbonize that, especially on the road freight side. We know that you take you can do your optimization of fuels and you can optimization of your logistics operations and reduce. But at some point, you have to transition of a fuel. And that's where you go to battery electric trucks in most cases. And what we see, and this is going to come in, say, 3 years, I would say. For majority of operations, in 3 years, you'll see battery electric trucks coming to market for everyone. That means that the likes of Patrick and other organizations need to be planning in the next couple of years is how does that rollout look like? And we help them exactly with that, because I don't have the silver bullet. I don't think Patrick would have the silver bullet to that, but we'll have multiple partners to work together on the charging side, on the financing side, on the trucking side, on the policy side, all doing that together. And that's what we do. That's what we are, I would say, good at as well.
Okay, so that's super clear. I mean, I didn't know much about your organization until we get the opportunity to talk now. What's some of the challenges your organization faces?
We see several challenges from our core constituents, which is a combination. One is a bit of uncertainty around how to do this from a technological perspective. So which creates issues around, can I get enough trucks that are battery electric? Can I get enough charging infrastructure on my depots or on the road to be deployed? And that creates dependencies outside of your own control. because even organizations, large organizations like Kühne+Nagel, can purchase quite a few trucks or allow trucking to do it. You need partners to do that, and that creates uncertainty. I would say another challenge that we see is also a lack of financial resources and a willingness in that context to make it happen. So what we see is that battery electric trucks are, what is it, 3 times more expensive today to purchase than a diesel truck. It will come down, and I'm pretty confident about that.
So you can probably, Rick, see sometimes the hesitancy of companies purchasing now because the cost is so high. I don't know, Patrick, you agree with that? Or
I can give even a little bit more to that. Rick just hit the point there. When we're talking about 3 times the investment at the very beginning, this is a lot of money, particularly when you're looking into smaller carriers, which have 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 trucks. You have to imagine we suddenly triple the money which they have to put into a truck. And we're talking here about low margin business. We're not talking about 20, 30, 40% gain on a truck. We talk about 5%. And that is not that easily affordable. And if these carriers take a wrong decision, they invest into the wrong technology and they are left alone at the end of the day with that decision, they go bankrupt. And this is one of the big risks we saw with a big carrier base with us, as well as with ourselves. I just can give you an example from the money perspective, because it doesn't stop with the money that you're putting into a truck. If you buy a truck today, you have to charge it. And logistics locations, particularly small logistics locations in the suburbs, where you don't want to have them in city centers because you don't want to have these trucks in your city, they, from a general standpoint, they were never a big energy consumer. They never had the big lines to the depot where you can charge easily now the employees' cars plus the trucks on top. So the thing that we're facing is we have to choose. Either we charge our trucks within 10, 15, 20 hours and we have them standing literally and we cannot use them in this time, which costs us a hell of a lot of money. Or on the other side, we have to invest into the net grid. And investing into the net grid, just to give you a number, 1 megawatt, 1 million. That is one connection that I picked up at a certain point in discussions. So to lift up your capacity at a depot, 1 megawatt is 1 million, and 1 megawatt means charging one of the big trucks over a couple of hours, not like 20, 30, 40, 50 trucks. So we're talking easily in multi-million investments, which are necessary to make the change happen. And now project that back onto our small carriers. Completely impossible. And if made possible somehow, then really, really risky. Because if you invest into the wrong technology, as said before, you're going to go bankrupt.
So let me ask a challenging question then. So Rick, a moment ago, you talked about how in the next 3 years, we're going to see more electric trucks. But if we have these market conditions that challenge, how does that work? How is that going to happen then? I know, sorry for the question, but I just have to challenge.
Yeah, but this is the exact challenge, because on top of what Patrick was saying, say that you to build on even on the, especially on the charging side, and we take a little bit of on the challenging side because I think there's also solutions, but to build in a bigger grid capacity to your network, and you ask your grid provider how long does it take to get it upgraded? If you're lucky, it will say 2 years. If you're lucky. I've seen situations in the Netherlands where they say, look, you're at the back of the queue, it will take you 7 years.
Oh, la, la.
7 years, which means that by 2030, which is the commitments that quite a few of these organizations have made to have half, 50% reduction of their logistics emissions.
So what do you do then? Is the organization that you are, what do you have up your sleeve to tackle some of these challenges? Do you have direct relationships with the OEMs? What's the magic bullet? I know you said there wasn't one, but what is your strategy? Let me use that word. How are you, knowing all these limitations, how are you driving lower emissions?
So we believe that we need to lay this puzzle together, because it is a real puzzle. It's a puzzle that needs to be laid by the OEMs that need to drastically ramp up their battery electric truck supplies. And that's what they will do in the next couple of years in response, actually, to legislation that is forcing them. And that will drive down the costs more significantly. We help actually aggregate now the demands from individual actors to say, look, if you can't buy it alone, but if you buy it together, you get the trucks cheaper. And also potentially sooner. So through that demand aggregation, we believe you can actually reduce the cost of the trucks. We can also be smart about the charging deployment locations. Imagine a logistics site, as Patrick started to allude to, it, on the suburbs of a city. You'll probably find next to Kühne+Nagel's depot, you'll find a DHL logistics site. You'll find a DSV logistics site. You find a CMA, CGM, or SIVA these days logistics site. So you'll find four or five of those. If each of them are suddenly saying, like, we need 5 megawatt charging in place, that's a huge waste of capital. And neither any of them would get it. So you get suboptimal situations where we strongly believe that you actually need this collaboration amongst these five partners, which are competitors, I recognize, but need to collaborate here to put in charging infrastructure together.
So let me ask Patrick. Patrick, would that happen? Could you imagine some point where, as Rick just mentioned, like these five competitors, could we envisage at some point people coming together for the greater good?
Let me play that question back. Are we using the same gas stations today to fuel our trucks?
Yep.
So it's not a different situation. It's exactly the same. We have to team up to a certain extent, not managing business, but to team up to steer the demand towards policymakers, towards net grid providers, towards everybody around the table, which you can imagine. And honestly, we tried to paint this onto a whiteboard one day, and there were a lot of names, a lot of arrows. It's barely impossible to kind of manage this space, particularly from our perspective as a logistics provider. That's where we need the guidance from the Smart Freight Buyers Alliance. And I think we get it. And at the end of the day, we will have to influence the right, we have to set the right needles into this picture here and there at the very right point. And this is where we absolutely need Rick and his group to be active and also to steer us, what do we need to do in regards to the demand on the market?
So Rick, a question for you. Is there a role for Book and Claim to incentivize investments in electric trucks? And before you answer that question, could you help our listeners understand what it actually is, Book and Claim?
Yeah, Book and Claim is a fascinating and but a crucial element in this transition as we speak. One of the biggest issues as we speak is that in the transition towards low carbon fuel, so this is not just about road freight, but it's also about maritime and aviation. There is no certainty that when you book your cargo, that this would immediately move on this specific truck that is a battery electric truck. It could be run on a fossil-based fuel truck still. Same applies. You can't guarantee that this moves on exactly on this particular ship or this particular aircraft. Book and Claim allows you to decouple that part, to say, look, I'm willing to pay a premium to have it run on a zero-emission transport and at the same time claim the benefits of that type of the service. Whilst allowing the flexibility then to the operator to run the service as it usually would do.
And that's an important thing. That's the first time I've actually heard it explained so well, Rick. So thanks for that. And just as an aside, I'm curious to know, Patrick, is Book and Claim popular in Kühne+Nagel and is it on the rise?
Actually, it is. It is everywhere in the industry because it kickstarts the change. As Rick explained, we cannot guarantee. And that's not simply because we want to go into cheap situation and keep the costs as low. The simple fact is you're today not able to guarantee because you're not able to produce. You're not able to get the vehicles. Giving the example of battery electric, a battery electric truck, even the newest generation with full load, is going 400-500 kilometers one way, and then it has to charge over hours because the charging infrastructure is not there yet. Now, having single spot on the map where this is possible, that you go these 400-500 kilometers with a truck, is very rare. And if customers still want to invest into the change, or they have to invest into the change, then it probably is at another point at the map that we are right now able to produce it. And that counts for everybody in the market. Nobody has a silver bullet. Nobody can produce at that very point right now. And that's why we are saying pay the premium, or actually pay it to happen somewhere else, because you're financing and kickstarting the change of the whole industry with it. So book and claim is a tool. It's unfortunately not the solution. Long-term, book and claim hopefully will completely disappear, because you don't need it anymore, because then we have our 60% battery electric trucks. And that doesn't only count for us, but for the whole industry. But right now, it's the right tool to kickstart the whole thing.
Great. So I like that honesty there, Patrick, and the transparency there. So, Rick, a moment ago, we just talked about the importance of book and claim and what it is. But can you share what's the role of the Smart Freight Center with making book and claim work?
Yeah, it's critical for everyone to follow the same rules of the game, because the book and claim allows is a voluntary carbon mechanism, and we need to make sure that we actually follow the same accounting rules and the same accounting principles, especially regarding additionality, which is what we do. So we provide the international guidance, the framework, and also working towards international standards on methods for emissions accounting, especially also around book and claim today, and to ensure everyone follows the same rules of the game, so to say.
And great. For us, it's an extremely important guidance to move in the same direction as the competition to a certain extent, because we need to make this change together, but also to secure that we're not falling into greenwashing. Some ideas might look good at the very beginning, but when you look at them from the outside perspective, it happened to some players in the market already over the last years. A great idea turned into a big disaster because it was not fully thought through. And at the end of the day, you're not fueling the change, but you're fueling something with it, which then puts really greenwashing into the focus. And this is definitely not the direction we want to move into.
Absolutely. And I think any program needs to be clearly explained, and everyone does need to follow the rules. Otherwise, it's not successful. So totally valid.
We have to safeguard. And especially in this transition, we have to safeguard also that the investments go into the right direction. And this is where these accounting rules matter.
And that's where, Rick, I guess your organization is investing, right? Because you see
I would say we're even specialized in
it. You specialize in it. Okay, great.
We are even specialized. We come from the emission accounting world. So we are the ones that have designed this for the last 10 years and are now designing this for the book and claim as we speak.
Wow, that's really interesting. So as we come to the end of the podcast, I've got one last question for both of you. As you think about the stakeholders that matter to you both, and you want them to get a message, can you share with me who is the stakeholder that you really need their help from today, and what's the message you want to give to them? Shall we start with you, Patrick, first?
Yeah, that's okay. From my perspective, there is not that one stakeholder which we need, but it's a collaborative effort. And collaborative in the meaning of that the whole logistics and transportation market has to tackle the thing together. Because just giving you an example from the very beginning, when Rick referred to 8-10% is transportation market. Currently, emissions are increasing by 1.5-2.5% every year on this planet. By achieving our targets, we stop the increase. We will stop globally the increase of greenhouse gases if we only make it in the transportation sector altogether. So, and that is kind of a sign for me that everybody has to move together, also from a perspective, from a competitiveness perspective and from a change perspective. But this is for me key. And besides that, we need everybody around us moving with us, because if only logistics moves, as described before, the net grid providers don't, we cannot charge the trucks. And this is where I can refer back to Rick again. where the Smart Freight Center and these forums come into play, it's a collective effort. We have to collaborate. We have to collectively move. We have to challenge each other on the way there, that we don't go into the wrong direction. But at the end of the day, it's a collective effort.
Patrick, as they say in the movie business, I couldn't have said it better myself. That was an outstanding message.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rick, you're going to have a tough call now. Yeah. Patrick.
I think so. We would love to facilitate this collective effort. And we're really driving this change now through this collective effort together with everyone. And my call out actually would be also to be part of that collective effort and be open to be participating in these discussions and also to take that action. And secondly, I would say specifically, I believe to a lot of the freight buyers and the cargo owners in this context, that they are, as I usually say, they are at the top of the food chain. You ask your goods to be moved around. You need to show your leadership in this space, which means is to show where do you want to go? What is your target in 2030? How does that translate then into a strategy for your battery electrics, for your trucking market, for your road freight operations? Discuss that with your carriers then to allow them also to say, this is the transition that we will go through together. It's not just me asking, can I have a battery electric truck? It's about showing your leadership, this is where I want to go to, and bring them along on this journey. And we at the SFBA are happy to facilitate that journey together with Kuna and others.
Rick, an outstanding answer. Thank you very much for sharing that. I truly hope that anyone listening to the podcast will be inspired and be part of the alliance that you're supporting as Kuni and Nagel does today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you.
That ends today's podcast on the importance of partnering to lower emissions. Thank you for listening and look out for our next podcast.